there was me. That is Alex and my three droogs. That is Pete, Georgie and Dim. And we sat in the Corova milk bar trying to make up our Razoo Dogs what to do with the evening.
Hey you guys, it's Friday and time for another movie review. And just as we promised, we're doing another Stanley Kubrick movie, A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, classic movie.
I love this movie. Honestly, this is not only one of my favorite Stanley Kubrick movie. This is one of my favorite top five movies ever of all time, of all movies.
Yeah, and so, it's pretty close to the book, too.
It is quite faithful to the book, yeah. Other than the ending, but we'll get into that.
Right.
And actually, that's probably not Kubrick's fault. Actually, I guess we can get into it right now. Yeah. It was based on the novel by Anthony Burgess. Now, the story goes that the American version, because it's a British book, the American version of the book had the infamous Chapter 21, but when the book was published in the U.S., the American publisher didn't like the last chapter and left it out.
Okay, now what's Chapter 21?
Well, in the book, you know, and probably most people, even if you haven't seen the movie, you're probably quite familiar with the story because it's been referenced so many times, like fucking on The Simpsons, it's been referenced like a zillion times and stuff like that.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this movie, then there's got to be something wrong. You got to go back and see this movie.
This is one that I'm actually going to say you need to see this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, because like it's just so ubiquitous.
Yeah, it's a movie that's taking place in England.
Yeah.
In a futuristic, well, for the time that the story's being told, kind of dystopian world where the Soviet Union and Europe have kind of merged into one thing and it's not going too well. It's about a youth violence, I guess you could say. It's a gang of young hoodlums.
Yeah.
And what's happened to the criminal justice system, and there's a lot of philosophy to it. You'll see.
Yeah, and let's say too, so there's all this stuff going on in the book, and the protagonist of both the book and the film, Alex, is pretty much a straight up psychopath.
Yeah.
He's a rapist, he's a murderer, he gets off on just beating the shit out of people and being as horrible as possible.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be like 17, I think, in the book.
In the book, he's 15.
In the book, he's 15, okay.
In the movie, he's older. I guess they didn't want to go that super controversial route. Because, like I said, actually, in the book, he's much worse than in the movie. So if you watch the movie and it's disturbing and you're just like, wow, what a shit. Even though you do kind of empathize with him, in the book, he does way, way worse shit.
Yeah, I can really understand why they bumped his age up. Because actually, yeah. Malcolm McDowell, who plays the main character, Alex, he's like 28, right?
Yeah, he's 27 or 28.
He's 27, 28 when he's doing the movie. And he's supposed to be playing like a 17 or an 18-year-old.
Yeah, I got that. Because he was supposed to be still in school.
Right. But the thing is you got to understand like the legal problems, you know, where have, you know, 15-year-old boys raping 12-year-old girls
and
10-year-old girls on screen. You
that
couldn't
was
do
the
that.
Book.
So in the book, you know, that's what kind of stuff that happened.
Yeah, they weren't going to put
you know,
that
these were not good kids. These were hardcore criminals. And really what the book is about, you know, it's Anthony Burgess is trying to show you that people in society will trade their rights away for safety, to live a calm life. But it's not so simple when you do that. Kubrick does a good job showing or illustrating the book.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, the movie is fairly faithful to the book. It does some kind of Kubrickian things that he kind of brought to it, his own reading of it. But like I said, the reason that there was controversy is because the final chapter of the book actually has Alex, the central figure. It shows him like 3 years later, and he is seemingly outgrowing his youthful psychopathy.
Yeah.
And it's suggested that he's going to go on to have a normal life. Now, what happened was that when Kubrick was making the movie, he had read the American edition of the book, which doesn't have that last chapter. So he was already like halfway into making the movie before he even found out that the book had a last chapter that was like a redemptive kind of chapter. And then he said, you know what? I still don't want to do it like that because he's like, I don't think that, you know, not shitting on the book because it's an awesome book. But I don't think that the redemption was earned.
Right.
I think I would have bought it more if it was 20 years down the line. But not when it's just like a couple years and now he's 18 and he's like, oh, maybe I'll get married and have a kid and I'll stop all this stuff. It just didn't feel like, because he is not, he didn't have any inkling in the rest of the story that he wanted to change. He was basically just a monster.
Yeah.
Who enjoyed it. So I don't see, it just wasn't all that believable to me.
And then one of the themes in the book and in the movie is this concept, and I think people are starting to become, you know, more used to this concept, you know, as internet has kind of shed light on the way governments and governments work. The government can't save you, really. In fact, a lot of them don't want to because they're corrupt. And, you know, that's discussed in the movie, too. You know, they crime is kind of a human problem. You know, it has to be solved by people. Governments can't really legislate it away. Like a good example is that crime started to take over the society, but they couldn't get any cops. So they just recruited the criminals to be the cops.
Right.
You know, so, and that happens. That happens in many countries. You know, all you have to do is just look at the third world. You know, that's the way it is.
And I think this, I mean, the central message of the book too, I mean, it has a lot of messages, but the central message of the book has to do with free will in the sense, and that's why it's called A Clockwork Orange, because Alex is essentially turned into something that looks organic on the outside but is mechanistic on the inside because he doesn't have any control over his actions anymore because he's been conditioned.
Yeah.
So they're asking, the book and the movie are asking you to contemplate, is it better to have people doing bad things because they choose to do bad things or to force them to be good, even though they're not good people and they're only doing good because doing bad is painful for them?
Yeah, the movie's start to show that as societies start to degenerate, they start to become more authoritarian. And part of authoritarianism is to take away people's choice. You're forcing them to be good. You're taking away their choice of being good. You, when you see the movie, you see what I'm talking
Which
about.
Which is essentially what the story is about.
For people that haven't seen the movie, they take Alex eventually when he's in prison. And they come up with this new program called the Ludovico Technique, where they can take a convict and force him to undergo all this aversion therapy, which is quite horrible the way they did it. They give you drugs and they make you watch these violent movies.
So you associate sickness, like a horrible sickness, with violence,
And from then on out, you can't commit evil. And then they let you out of prison early.
Yeah, after 2 weeks.
Right, but then the movie shows you what happens to a person when they cannot choose between good and evil.
Yeah.
They can't survive. And you'll see, especially not in a world that's falling apart like this dystopian society that they put him back into.
Yeah.
You know, you can't survive it. So a good person can't survive a harsh environment like that. So
The interesting thing about it that they kind of posit, and this is in the book too, and also in the movie, is that Alex is, he's not sympathetic exactly. He's like an anti-hero in the sense that you sort of empathize with him, even though he's a monstrous character, even though he does monstrous things. But I think one of the reasons that you do kind of empathize with him and relate to him is because he is the only one who is honest about his monstrousness and is enjoying it. Like everyone else, and this is more talking about the movie, because in the book, a lot of the authority figures are much more sympathetic than they are in the movie. Like say the writer and, who gets beat up and everything, was a lot more sympathetic, and his, Alex's guidance counselor was more sympathetic. But in the movie, pretty much everyone but Alex is like a horrible screeching caricature of a person. But they all, like, think they're good people and they're trying to, you know, they have good intentions, I suppose. But the way that Kubrick films it, it's almost like they're trying to show that Alex is the only normal person in this sort of carnival-esque, like, world. Like, he uses all these weird shots and, all the people are really strange, crazy hair and crazy wigs and all kind of shit
One of the things that crossed my mind is this, you know, they're talking about this society has basically removed people's ability to choose between good and evil, especially after the Ludovico technique. It could have been implied that maybe Alex and his droogs did not choose to be evil. That was just a natural occurrence based on the environment that they came up in.
Right.
So I don't think they didn't actually choose to be that way, because there were other ones like them.
Yeah, because they weren't the only gang.
They weren't the only ones like that. So it may have been kind of like a product of nature, of the nature that they came from.
That's kind of a good... Actually, I hadn't thought of that. But yeah. I think that is one of the implications of the movie. Sure.
So, right. So you have to look at both sides.
Yeah.
They took away his ability to choose evil, but he didn't choose evil. So he couldn't choose good or evil after the Ludovico technique. Couldn't survive.
Interesting.
Right.
That is a take I don't think I've ever heard on this movie. And I've watched a whole bunch of stuff. And like I said, I've seen this movie probably about 100 times.
Well, he and his gang never mention what they're doing is wrong or evil. They're having a good time. They just think it's fun.
Yeah, they don't feel bad.
I don't think they have a concept of good or evil.
And the interesting thing too,
they're just
is
animalistic.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Alex doesn't really, in a way, Alex doesn't really have an excuse. He doesn't come from a bad home. His parents are perfectly nice. You know what I mean? It's just the society around him that's kind of crumbling, and everyone is kind of going like that.
He just listens to Beethoven and fantasizes about people being hung and vampires and volcanoes. Remember his fantasies?
Yeah.
just ultra violence. You know?
Yeah.
And then they're taking all these weird drugs that were offered legally in the bars that they went to. Synth-esque and Drencrum and all this weird Moloco Plus.
Yeah, with the milk.
Yeah, it wasn't illegal. They were just taking it.
And everyone was doing it.
And then that would they'd take that and get hyped up before they go out and do all this ultra-violence.
Because there was even that one scene where they were in the Karova milk bar. And he said the TV people were there. So even like kind of upper class, like media people hung out at these same places and did all these same drugs, presumably.
Yeah.
Because that seemed like that was all that this place served.
So I think they're just trying to say that guys like Alex, there were lots of them, because they show other ones.
Yeah.
And I think that they were just being created by this degenerate society.
Yeah. I think that was the implication.
It's kind of like just the normal outcome for what was happening.
Right. And I think they kind of got
into
that.
The older generations didn't approve of it, but they didn't see that this is the direction the civilization was going.
I was just going to say that actually was implied by particularly the drunken bum that they beat up at the beginning.
Yeah, he says it used to be good.
Yeah, you know, he's talking about, this letting the young get on to the old, and it's like nobody has any respect anymore and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, he didn't want to live in this stinking world anymore and all this other kind of stuff. I want to talk a little bit, too, about... And I mean, like I said, too, I think that's maybe another reason why you empathize with Alex. Not only because Malcolm McDowell is an amazing actor and he is amazing in this.
It wouldn't have worked without his charm.
I don't think it would have worked with another actor. I can't really think of another actor who could have pulled that off. Like I said,
a lot of it was ad-libbed.
Yeah, the whole singing in the rain, the rape scene, that was ad-libbed. That was his idea.
Now, another thing, if you guys have never seen this movie and you never read the book, they're not speaking normal English.
That's what I was just going to get to.
They're speaking a language kind of like reminds me of the language out of Blade Runner, what they call it, city speak.
Yeah.
It's a mixture of English and Russian, and it's English and Russian slang.
And Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah, so you can understand what they're saying just based on the context. But a lot of it is, you're like, what the hell? Yeah. Calling things gullywuts and gullibus and weirds and malchicks and stuff like that, but you figure out that what they're talking about is heads and bellies and girls and,
Yeah, it's like, I really, really love, I mean, the book has a lot more of it. The book is very thin. The language itself, I guess it's not really a language. It's just kind of like a dialect.
Yeah, a bunch of weird words.
It's called Nadsat.
Yeah,
and
Nadsat,
Anthony Burgess invented it for
the
novel.
There was a dictionary in the back of the
book. There was a glossary in the back that described. But for the movie, you don't really need it.
No.
There's a couple of phrases where you really have to, listen and be like, I wonder what that means. But it's like, nowadays it's like somebody... But most of the time, he's speaking in a very... He's almost like speaking like a very convoluted, like a Shakespearean English... there's some Cockney rhyming slang thrown in there. I think he uses the word rabbit at one point to mean, I think it means goal, rabbit hole, goal.
Right.
So I think he uses that. And it's like weird anglicized Russian. So it's meant to, because the older people talk pretty normally. So yeah. I'm thinking that this is like the youth slang. Right. Not everybody talks like that. Just the younger ones do.
Yeah, and what's weird is it kind of in some ways reminds me of the Warriors. Remember that little corny gang movie?
I love that movie.
I think
though.
The Warriors might have lifted some of its mojo off this movie.
Yeah.
You look at it now, they're trying to be hard, you know, and tough. And the Warriors, you look at them now, and it just looks weak. It looks stupid. But the gangs had uniforms.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool when you look at it now. Each gang kind of had its own motif.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of what happens nowadays in subcultures. You know, you have goths and you have punk rockers and you have hip hop. You know, guys that are into hip hop, and so kind of true to life in a certain way. You know, but it was weird. You know, the guys from Alex's gang just wore all white with like black derbies and top hats and athletic protectors so you
on
couldn't
the outside.
Get yeah and eyeballs. Didn't they had eyeballs on their cuffs and weird stuff? And
yeah, Alex did. I'm not sure about the other ones. It was like a bloody eyeball, like a what do you call that thing on your
know.
On your shirt,
like a I don't know what it's
on your shirt sleeve. I'm totally having a brain fart and not remembering.
I don't know what they
cufflinks,
were.
Cufflinks.
Yeah.
It's like
I guess
a big
they were kind of like cufflinks. They were on the
and
top.
And he has
though.
That and he has that
one eyelash.
The one eyelash.
They all wore like one eyelash.
Yeah. But I feel like A Clockwork Orange is the only movie where the gangs all wearing the same outfit was actually terrifying rather than
funny.
Yeah, it kind of
looked cool. They'd come in with masks with big dicks on the end of the mask and they'd rape you.
Yeah.
Rape your woman. You know, these weren't nice kids.
No, they really weren't. But like I said, it's almost kind of like, and the reason why this movie was, and even though the movie is toned down substantially from the book, like I said, in the book, Alex was only 15 years old. He drugs and rapes 2 10-year-olds, which actually they turned into consensual sex with older teenage girls in the movie, which, you know, was fine. But he does a lot more murders in the book. Even the bum he beats up at the beginning isn't like an old drunk. He's just like an old man coming out of a library or something.
Yeah.
He just kicks his ass. But so they toned him down, but he's still a horrible, horrible monster. Like, he still does horrible things in the movie. And yet, I don't know. It's like, this movie was super, super controversial when it came out. In a lot of ways, Kubrick just withdrew it from British because there was so much. Because there were a couple of copycat crimes.
Do you know what they did, though, now that you just reminded me of something?
What's that?
They removed the girl gangs. In the book, there were girl gangs.
Yeah.
And the girl gangs wore these outfits and real tight outfits. And one girl gang they talked about, the girls wore little pin-on buttons running down their backs with the names of all the guys they had sex with.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird. They were in a competition.
Yeah.
To see how many guys they could...
They really only showed one other gang in the movie.
Yeah.
Billy Boy's gang.
Billy Boy's
with
gang.
Their little kind of
like
Nazi
the Germanic,
jackets.
Yeah, Germanic outfits with like ruffles and...
Yeah, it's like Edwardian
camouflage
Nazi.
Pants, and
that's what they look.
And they were fighting over some girl they were going to rape in the theater.
But then they decided they were going to.
But she got away.
She got away.
She got away. Yeah.
But
they were beating each other up, throwing each other into pianos and stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, the way the
and they're
reason,
playing like happy. They're playing like happy classical music when all this is going on.
The reason that I think this movie is still was so controversial at the time, and it's still kind of disturbing nowadays, I think that might be why, is because it's so violent.
Yeah.
But the way Kubrick films it, it's almost like makes it farcical,
kinda.
Which to me makes it scarier.
Two pretty intense rape scenes.
Yeah.
And when I first saw them when I was younger, you know, they're kind of disturbing. And
they are very disturbing.
Because there's people screaming and they're cutting women's clothes off. And then there's singing in the rain and happy music going on at the same time when the guy's husband's on, you know, the girl's husband's on the ground and they're beating him half to death. And you're just like, you can't believe this is happening. But when you watch it today, you realize that it's not very graphic.
No, it's not.
Yeah, when it fools you into thinking that you're seeing more than you really are.
Which the Texas Chainsaw Massacre does that too.
Right.
The original kids, not the new one.
They just kind of infer a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like, because, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre still, I came out like back in the 70s, and I feel like, oh my God, people cut up with chainsaws. There was not a single person was not cut up with a chainsaw.
I remember for a while, they would only show this movie after hours in certain theaters. It was like a special event when I was a kid growing up. This was almost an X-rated type movie.
It might have gotten an X rating when it first came out.
I don't think they were really able to show it mainstream.
Yeah, it was really... And like I said, It's even though compared to, I mean, you know, shit, they show fucking people getting torn in half on Walking Dead on fucking TV nowadays, but it's like...
Back in those days, though, they couldn't show this. The sexual violence.
Yeah, and really, like I said, in some ways, because it's not as graphic, and because it's almost filmed like a ballet, sort of, like, because there's all of this, it's all very choreographed, particularly like the fight between the Droogs and Billy Boy's gang. You know, it's almost, they're throwing each other over tables. It's all very graceful and Cirque du Soleil and all this other kind of stuff. And then there's all this like music going on in the background. So in some ways it's very stylized. And in a way, I think it makes it more shocking. I mean, the rape scene with Singing in the Rain.
Well, it's kind of like they're not taking it seriously.
Right.
But they are at the same time.
And that's what I mean. And when we were just rewatching, because like I said, I've seen this movie like 100 times. I probably have it memorized by this point. But we watched it again a couple days ago. You know, just to get ready for this. And that rape scene still really bothers me. I'm like, it's one of those things where it's like, I've never seen anything simultaneously so hilarious and yet so horrifying at the same time.
What kind of makes it horrifying is that, you know what I mean? They're raping people in their own homes, you know, without any warning. They just come in and start raping people. And they think it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's
and
like
the,
to
and
them,
the movie,
they...
and the movie's got background music that's like classical music going, and it's just weird, you know, the juxtaposition of all these opposites. You're like going, what the fuck? And
it's very disturbing.
Alex and his gang are just mentally in a parallel universe. They don't have any empathy for these people.
Yeah, they do not give a single fuck.
No, they think it's hilarious.
Yeah, he says that. I mean, in so many words, they're just driving around. It's like, oh well, we're gonna go engage in the old ultra violence,
that's break into this house.
Let's break into this house and rape this woman, and that's just what they do. That's what they do for fun, and they do not give a single crap about anyone.
No, steal your shit and then just, you know, get rid of it.
Yeah,
trash it, sell it, whatever.
Yeah. So it's in a way, like I said, I think that's kind of why. And the movie still might be controversial now. I don't really know. But
and what's weird is this is Stanley Kubrick. Yeah. This isn't a 2-bit director. You know what I mean? This is a well-made film. It's not even a flick. This is a film.
It's a film.
It's a film.
With a little,
with a lot of deep implications to it. You know what I mean? After you think about it, you go, ah, oh, yeah. And then Anthony Burgess is supposed to be one of the main victims in the movie, and really. Who's the guy who wrote the book?
He
kind of wrote himself into this story under a pseudonym. He's not only the main victim, he's also one of the main perpetrators later on. You'll see what I'm talking.
And like I said, that's another thing, too, about in the book, like some of the characters were. Because, like in the movie, the writer who, you know, whose wife gets raped and dies, and he gets his ass kicked and he's crippled for life.
Yeah, he ends up becoming a revolutionary.
Yeah, basically. Well, he's much older in the movie than in the book. In the book, he was about the same age as the woman was in the movie. So it's almost kind of like Kubrick. Like I said, he almost made all the other characters, like all the other authority figures, grotesque.
Yeah, and what's
weird
is
that... Because in the book, they're kind of normal.
All the authority figures are also kind of perverse.
Yeah, like, which is not really in the book.
Yeah, what was it?
I don't remember that aspect.
Alex is like truancy officer.
Yeah.
Is definitely concerned about him, but he's also definitely into him.
Yeah. That is a very, very sexual
scene.
He comes in, he sits on his bed, he's like patting the bed, like to sit next to him.
Yeah, sit here, my boy. It's weird. It's kind of like they're just trying to show you that, I guess you could say, the Overton window of this society has just expanded way out where basically anything goes. So the youth are just running around raping people.
Yeah,
I was going to
say, everybody in this movie is terrible. I think the only sympathetic character is the prison chaplain.
I don't know.
And even him, maybe not.
I think the prison chaplain thought he was going to get a piece.
Maybe.
Remember, just, can I speak to you alone over there, brother? And he's like, oh,
it could be red.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It could be red like that, sure.
I think that was
And probably, yeah. I'm kind of thinking. So, okay, I take it back. Everyone in this movie is terrible.
And then the prison warden, one of the main, not the warden, but the main prison officer, the crazy guy doing all the goose stepping and everything and yelling, screaming.
Yeah, that guy.
I mean, his problem is he's just taking everything way too seriously. You know,
that dude was hilarious.
Stephen King would call him an officious prick.
Yeah.
Remember that?
That's right.
It's just hilarious shit, man.
But yeah, like so I don't...
There was something wrong with everybody in the movie.
Yeah, everyone sucked. Everyone was the worst.
I think they're just trying to show a civilization on the edge.
Yeah.
Where nobody's really... functional.
I mean, his parents were fairly sympathetic.
No, they weren't.
I mean, sort of.
No, the dad was basically kind of useless. He wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, but they weren't.
He was letting all this happen.
They weren't like aggressively mean or anything. I meant
no. They were kind of like passive.
Yeah.
So passive, they were just letting him run wild and commit crimes.
Yeah.
So
true.
No, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't a good example of a father. He was totally. He was, you know, cucked out. You know what? You know, remember? He was just
yeah.
Kind of like,
well, they
okay,
didn't...
whatever you say. I don't know what he's up to at night. You know,
well,
it's
they were both
shit.
Like that. The mom
yeah,
was like
they,
that too.
Yeah. So that's not being a
they
good
didn't
parent.
Even know what he was doing.
No, they didn't. No, they were. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
And that's and this is allowing a disaster to happen. So I'm gonna call bullshit on that. No, that was bad.
Well, actually, although one of the better things they did was that was when Alex got let out of prison. After the Ludovico technique, and he went back to the house, they actually did put their foot down and not let him move back in.
No. That was the border.
Well, yeah.
Like, you know, I know about you, what you did to these wonderful people here. You know what I mean? And they went, yeah, I guess we can't just ask him to leave.
Yeah,
you
true.
Know, just, no.
So in a way, yeah.
Everybody was fucked up.
Yeah, that's right.
And, yeah, then the new border really was just in on it because he had a place to live.
He had a place to live. And
yeah,
that.
Yeah. No, everyone was out for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they were all out for themselves.
But, yeah, so like
I'm
I said...
I'm reading into it from a negative point of view,
yeah.
And I'm looking at it from a society falling apart. No, they're all selfish.
Yeah.
They're all selfish, or they're blind, or they're weak, you know, stuff like that.
And like I said, I think that's probably why, I mean... to the extent that you empathize with Alex, which you kind of do, particularly at the end when he's cured, you know, and everybody's like, yay, he's back to being a psychopath. Well, I don't know, like, because I kind of feel like that might be, I think that the final scene where before he says, I was cured all right, when he has that fantasy.
Yeah.
Did you notice something interesting about that fantasy that he was having that was different from his other ones?
What was that?
It appeared that the sex was consensual. It also appeared the woman was on top in a dominant position. There was also no violence. So
yeah, but it was
Kubrick's...
in public. It was
right.
happening in public.
But that's
it was kind of weird though.
That's not inherently
he says,
bad.
I was cured, all right. But
so,
I think the main win was that he got that settlement.
Yeah.
They gave him a whole bunch of money, hush money, to keep him
yeah.
quiet.
Well, they gave him a job with a lot of, with a high salary.
From what I remember the book, they gave him a bunch of money, too. They gave him a job, yeah, but they also gave him a big
yeah,
because
they didn't want him to, like, shit
on
what they did to him.
There was a big election happening. It involved a bunch of political parties in the book, and they didn't want him going to the news.
Yeah.
And talking about this. Because it would affect some up-and-coming politician.
Yeah.
You know, the whole society was corrupt.
But like I said, that final scene, his final fantasy, like after he says that he's cured, where the implication could be either he's returned to his psychopathic ways, or he kind of has, like he got his free will back, but
he wasn't
it's
bad
evolving.
As he was.
It wasn't as bad as it was.
Maybe.
Because, like
well,
I said...
Well, he was older. He had been in prison for a few years.
Yeah, he was in prison for 2 years.
Yeah,
2 years, and then
so that would have made him probably about, in the book, 18, maybe?
Yeah, he was 18 in
right.
the last chapter when he decided
right.
that he was not going to do
that. So maybe they were just saying that he kind of naturally matured maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But no,
which,
there's
you
no
know,
telling.
But,
Kubrick does all kinds of stuff. In the
that's
book...
That's what I mean.
In the book, it didn't make any implication. They just said that they had reversed the conditioning. That was basically,
yeah.
from what I remember.
Yeah.
Which meant that if he was a nut before, he would continue being a nut. Now, there's a sequel to it, to that book. And evidently in the sequel, he's a normal guy. He grew out of it.
Yeah. Well, that was, like I said, that was the implication
yeah.
of the chapter 21, which was in the British book but not in the American book.
Okay.
He's basically...
So maybe that's the sequel.
When he's 18, he's just... Like I said, I think he sees one of his droogs out, like
yeah.
talking to a girl, you know, and acting normal and stuff and talking like a grown-up instead of in their
you're
little
right.
Natsat language. And he starts contemplating, you know, maybe I'll get married and maybe I'll have a son
yeah.
and I don't want him to end up like me and stuff like
right.
that. Which, like I said, I could buy that more if it had happened later on. Like,
yeah.
I feel like an 18-year-old dude doesn't have that level of insight.
No.
You know, particularly one that has maybe spent his entire youth.
Maybe back in the 60s.
Has spent his entire youth being a terror. Yeah. I don't think that there is that quick a reversal.
Is there anything else you want to say about this movie? Because this is a must-see.
Yeah, like I said, it's like I could go
on.
One
of our fans from Mexico said he'd never seen this. No, and he'd never see The Shining.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm almost kind of jealous because it's like I wish I had never seen them.
You gotta go see that one.
But you know what I mean? It's these two movies. The Shining and A Clockwork Orange are probably two of my favorite movies of all time. All of Kubrick's movies are good.
Yeah, there's a Blu-ray for sale on eBay that has 2001, Clockwork Orange, and The Shining on it. You can get all three movies for about $15 on Blu-ray, man, and there's a lot of extras. It's a great
disc. Yeah, each disc has a shit ton of extras.
Yeah, and it's not one disc. It's three discs in the same package.
So $15. It was such a good deal. We got a Target, like I said, but...
Yeah, and all those movies are imminently rewatchable.
Yeah.
We can watch Shining once a week.
I could watch that every goddamn day and never get tired of it. Same with Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched it so many times that I have it memorized.
2001's a bit long, but you could always run that in the back.
Yeah, I could have that on the background. But actually, whenever Clockwork Orange or The Shining would come on TV, I would always sit down and watch it. Yeah. I don't care how many times I've seen it. It's over and over and over again. It's like a fantastic, fantastic movie. Very disturbing to watch. Even nowadays, I think it's still kind of disturbing just the way it is because it's so grotesque.
And it's got a lot of Kubrick stuff in it. You'll see little messages and things hidden in the background and, you know.
It is very Kubrickian. Yeah. Probably the most Kubrickian movie there is.
Yeah.
But definitely recommend it. If you haven't seen it, like I said, I'm kind of jealous of you because I wish I could go back
and see it for the first time.
See it for the first time.
Yeah.
Especially if I could see it on the big screen. That would be rad.
Yeah.
Because I never got to. But anyway, hope you enjoyed our little rambling analysis of A Clockwork Orange. Go see it if you haven't. Also, remember, if you like the show, to like, share, subscribe on all your social media. Check out all our other channels. What do we have? VO, BitChute.
Yeah.
Daily Motion, kind of, even though I'm slowly...
Slowly getting up on Daily Motion.
Slowly getting it up on there. Yeah. It's taking forever. Also, if you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or you can go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account where you can give a one-time donation. And be sure to check out our regular episodes, which come out every Tuesday, and our movie reviews, which come out every Friday. And that will do it for this installment. See you later.